Blog Talk Radio. Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High YAH. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell, Jr. That's Charles Dowell, Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G. T-O-N, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, And Lafayette is spelled Lafayette 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Hallelujah, saints. Am I coming through? Coming through it all? Hallelujah. You can hear me now. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me get readjusted here, man. Different mic here. Well, praise y'all. Hope everyone's enjoyed the Sabbath this weekend. Enjoyed the message from my shepherd. Hallelujah. Come in low. How's my sound now? Am I better? Well, there's still a two, Brother Ugly. Four. Hallelujah. Okay, hallelujah. Keep working on it. All right. Very faint. Okay. Hallelujah. All right. How about now? Coming in a little better now? A little better? A little better? Okay. Hallelujah. Get it some more. Praise Yah. Praise Yah. Hallelujah. How's that? Needs to be louder. Okay. Hold on. Try this. Shalom, saints. How am I coming in now? Hallelujah. Praise y'all. Let me know how I'm coming in, saints, please. 10. Hallelujah. Okay. Praise y'all. That's better. Gotta love the technical difficulties. Praise y'all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Let me get me adjusted here, saints. Praise y'all. Tens, great ten. Okay, praise y'all. Hallelujah. All right, praise y'all, saints. Still coming in good. All right, hallelujah. Yeah, having some issues here today. Praise y'all. We'll keep going. Praise y'all. Well, I'm going to continue where I... This is going to be part two of what we talked of from the previous blog talk that I did. Continuing in the same vein of thought. Hallelujah. But you know, we had a good word yesterday. The man of Yah ministered to us, you know, our shepherd, our blessed pastor, was laboring to feed the sheep, as always. And I'm truly grateful for everything that our pastor does, our shepherd does. You know, pastor's been very busy, you know, traveling back and forth and getting ready to go out again. And I know for certain with the Hebrews to Negroes meeting next month. And no telling what he has planned in between. So y'all remember to keep the man of Yah in prayer, keep our shepherd in prayer. You know, y'all keep maintain his strength and keep giving him his word to feed us. Hallelujah. All right. So this is Jesus Knocking at the Door, part two. All right. But you know, yesterday when Pastor was preaching, you know, let's you know, for the recap, you know, the theme of this blog talk has been a previous blog talk about fellowship. And you know, when he was preaching yesterday, you know, dealing with a lot of sins and things that would disrupt fellowship. And cause, you know, problems amongst us. You know, when he talked about, you know, brother lusting after your wife. You know, that would make it hard to fellowship with somebody when you're dealing with that. You know, you have to, you know, you got that going through your mind. all you got, you know, the talebearers and the slanderers going around, you know, that's going to cause some problems in fellowship. You know, that those people are operating in a contrary spirit. You know, that's not the nature of Christ. You know, Yeshua, Jesus. They're not, you know, you're not operating in the Ruach when you are in those things. Of that manner of spirit. When Jesus said to the disciples, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. And some people don't know what the heck they're doing when they're sinning in that capacity. And some do. Some are, like what Pastor bring out yesterday, the people who are that sin presumptuously. You know, people that are very daring. You know, arrogant in their willful, wicked way. And we definitely don't need that amongst us. And don't want to have that type of spirit. But, you know, over in John chapter 6, you know, Jesus said this. Of course, you know, go back and read this whole thing in context. I'm going to start at verse, I'll start at verse 60. Of course, it's talking about him having the words of eternal life. Now, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? You know, what if y'all see me go up? Then what? It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some that, of you that believe not. But Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. But the key on verse 63. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So a lot of times when people get offended, it's because they have no spirit in them. They don't understand spiritual things. You know, they have no spiritual comprehension. That darkness within them don't let them comprehend the light, the spirit of Yah that's speaking. You know, of course, you know, men love darkness rather than light too, you know, because their deeds are evil. So when Pastor was talking yesterday, you know, he's talking about, you know, ministry yesterday, he's talking about some of the evil deeds that are amongst us, you know. And we need to have that uncleanness out of us. You know, of course, a lot of these things are motivated and driven by spirits. And thank God we have a deliverance ministry. So you got a lust problem, get delivered. You got a slander problem, get delivered. Now, first of all, repent. Don't just get in the chair and say you want deliverance, you haven't done the first part. Hallelujah. But, you know, we need to make sure we guard our hearts, saints, and keep ourselves pure. Keep ourselves in the love of Yah and love our brethren. Let's not sin against our brethren. But, you know, if your brother sinned against you, rebuke him. Same thing Jesus said. And that'll help maintain fellowship, too. You know, of course, if he don't hear you, then go get another brother and go to him again. But hallelujah. You know, the saints, you know, it was a very good word, very edifying. And we need to let those things sink down our ears. And like Pastor said, you know, that'll keep the devil at bay for a little while, you know. Now everybody's discernment should be up. You know, if you can at least strive to walk in the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to help you be able to discern when you see things that are amiss or show you what's wrong or someone's doing wrong. And also when you're doing wrong, chiefly. Help you discern you. Hallelujah. That's the biggest thing. Oh, hallelujah. Well, praise Yah. Let's go to Psalms 8:4. You post that, please, Brother Ugly. Oh, Brother Ugly, do appreciate your labor of love here. As always, Brother, posting the scriptures for me. Probably for the blog talk, as always, you know, appreciate you being a good and faithful co-host. You and all the saints for the fellowship, you know, do value all being here. Do thank you all for, you know, coming tonight as well. And those of you who aren't here at this time, thank you for coming too, for fellowshipping. When you do have a chance to listen. And most of all, make sure you stay connected with the ministry. Keep up with the Shabbat services. everything that Pastor's putting out in the videos. You know, if you're not on Patreon, get on there. Hallelujah. But just support the ministry, saints. Just stay connected. Stay in fellowship. All right. What did I say? Oh, Psalms 8:4. This was David. You know, says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" You know, when you come in fellowship with him, when the Most High came to Adam and Eve in the garden, you know, they heard his voice, the voice of Yah walking in the garden. You know, when they hadn't sinned, they had no problem coming out to meet the Father. You know, they were joyful to hear his voice and love that time of fellowship with the Most High. You know, who knows? They don't say how long he stayed with them. You know, how long that time of fellowship lasted. But, you know, I'm sure it was daily. Maybe it was, I don't know, half a day, whole day. I mean, whatever time it was in the cool of the day when the Father came. You know, of course, he didn't stay there jaw jacking with him, I guess, all day long, because he did put man over the garden and had him to take care of it. So, you know, he didn't dismiss Adam from his stewardship either. But they did have some fellowship. Hallelujah. And of course, you know, when they listened to the wrong voice and sin, you know, they wanted to hide themselves. You know, Most High had to come go look for them. Now, he knew where they were, but, you know, they hide themselves, putting on their fig leaves and everything. You know, he's having to call them. And they finally, when they come out, like, "Hey, Adam, you know, where are y'all? Where are you?" "You know, well, you know, we were naked, so we hid ourselves." You know, of course, you know, that sin made them naked. That knowledge they shouldn't have had, the knowledge of good and evil, gave them that awareness, and they were naked, and that disrupted their fellowship with the Most High. But, you know, over the course, if they wouldn't listen to the serpent. Well, let's read this real quick. Genesis 3:1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yahweh, the Elohim, had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath Yah said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Yah hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And of course, the serpent said to the woman, You shall not surely die, for Yah doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Of course, you know, Eve was tempted. She saw the tree that was good for food, that was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired, to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And now, since sin has entered in, and they heard the voice of Yahweh Elohim walking in the cool of the garden, in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh. I'm just reading like it reads, saints, from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where are you? Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. You know, all this time before, you know, they weren't afraid. You know, that they were free in their fellowship. You know, just like us today. You know, we'll have no problem coming amongst our brothers and sisters when you're clean. But, you know, when you're running dirty, when you come in, you know, some people, you know, I've seen this time and time again at different times. You know, a saint is clean and confident. They don't have that, you know, like our pastor says, your countenance tells on you. You know, when they're clean and confident, they come in clean and confident. You know, it's meaning when they know they haven't sinned, you know, they're happy, they're joyful, they don't carry that shameful look about their face. I can just describe it like that's the best way I can describe it at the moment. They don't have that shameful, you know, that shameful look about their face. You know, their countenance is bright, but, you know, when they're dirty, their face actually looks dirty. Hardened, you get kind of that hardness of sin on them as well. And, you know, you see that filth on them. And but tell you the truth, saints, it really shouldn't be like that. I mean, why go out and sin? You don't have to sin. You're not a servant of sin anymore. But you shouldn't be. You're not in that bondage anymore. You know, who the Son has made free, you're free indeed. You get tempted. Okay, you tempt. You yield it. All right, but then turn and repent. And keep walking with the Most High. Walk righteously. You know, if you need help, call a brother or sister. Get them to help you. All right, we go on. Of course, the Most High says in verse 11, and he said, who told you that you were naked? Who told you that I was naked? And have you eaten of the tree wherever I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And now you're getting out to nitty gritty here. You know, did y'all disobey me? Eating of the tree that I told you to stay away from? Of course, you know, we had the blame shifting part going on there. You know, the serpent, the man said to the woman said to the serpent. You know, of course, y'all did with everybody. And cast them out of the garden and made the serpent crawl in his belly. But you know, but you see how that sin messed up that fellowship there. Of course, before the Most High sent them out, you know, he didn't send them out in sin, though. He did, you know, slay the animal and clothe them and everything. And, you know, so he did help Adam and them get it right. But of course, you know, he still got the judgment. Now, you're not going to have the type of fellowship you had with him before. Now it's changed. Hallelujah. But now let's go on to, come back to that. Let's go over to Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. Let me ask y'all, saints. Now, how many times have you come to assembly dirty? You know your brothers and sisters see you looking at you, you know somebody with eyes of discernment looking at you, seeing your countenance. Seeing that your countenance is actually falling, you know, because you're not the bright-eyed, Holy Ghost-glowing saint that you normally are today. And the bad thing is, sometimes you come to assembly that way and you leave the same way. And it's a sad thing, because, you know, saints, you know how pastor, I say it like this, he harps this all the time to us, you know, about taking this walk serious. Seriously. And a lot of us just don't. You know, now of course that's none of you. That wouldn't be you, let me pick on somebody here, hold on. All right, Brother Jeff and Sister Anna, that wouldn't be you guys, right? And that wouldn't be, of course not you, Brother Ugly, especially when you wear that bow tie. I know, that's Brother Jermaine wearing the bow tie. But you know, but come on, saints, you know, we really got to take this walk serious. You know, like what Pastor said yesterday, you know, the day that we hear the Most High's voice, harden not your heart. You know, he might have a brother rebuke you for you walking in transgression, or a sister can rebuke you for walking in transgression. That's still the Most High reaching out to you, trying to help you, often throwing you a lifeline if you take it. But, you know, when you harden that heart, stiffen your neck, you know, you'll be cut off without remedy if you keep on. But, you know, let's let the love of Yah constrain us, keep us. You know, if you mess up, let them draw you back. Be drawn back. Just run back. Shoot. Don't even be drawn back. We know when we mess up. I'm like Adam and Eve hiding, and you got to go police you up. They should have just ran out there. Father, we sinned. We messed up. But they had to play the game with them. Father had to, you know, had to deal with them. You know, it's easier just to fall. What Jesus say? Fall on the rock and be broken so the rock don't fall on you and grind you to powder. Hallelujah. Let's just humble ourselves before the Most High. Hallelujah. All right, now let's go to. Let's move my paper. Hold on a second. Oh, yeah, Revelation 3, 14 through 19. Hallelujah. And don't forget, saints, you do fall, you get tempted. You know, it's that which is common to man. Temptation's going to come. Is what you do with. But if you do sin, you got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The blood of Jesus is available to cleanse you from all your sin. You know, of course, we got deliverance to help break the bondage of those sins off you as well, too. So you don't have to, like I said, we don't have to be bound. And we used to sing a song, Deacon Gass used to sing all the time, especially this song, "No, Jesus, give it to me, why should I be bound?" No, it's a song. "The joy that I have, Jesus gave it to me. Why should I be bound? He delivered and set me free. Why should I be bound?" I'm not doing it justice, saints. I'm not a singer, but anyway, you know, Jesus gave salvation to us, gave deliverance to us, the abundant life in Him to us. We don't have to be bound. Hallelujah. All right. Revelation 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of Yah. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. So let's make sure Jesus, in our walk, saints, let's make sure Jesus is not outside, not outside the door seeking to gain entrance. We should be giving him open access to us at all times. But, you know, in this chapter here, in Revelations here, with the Laodiceans, you know, he's outside. He's knocking at the door, trying to get in, wanting entrance to those that got an ear to hear. At any given time, in our spiritual states, the Most High is on the outside. You know, then what's the reason? Why is he outside, though, saints? I have to ask that question again. So why is Jesus outside of your life? I hope he's not. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 14. And we'll come back to Revelation 3:20 again. I'm going to ask that question again. Let's go to Luke 14. We'll read verses 16 through 26, Brother Ugly. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. All right, we'll go on. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his master these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed, the halt and the blind. And the servant said to his master, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the master said unto the servant, go into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which have none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. You see, now the master's angry, right? Because of the excuses that everybody offered up. These people had ample opportunity to come. Supper's ready. I got everything ready for them. We're going to feed them. You know, we're going to have a good time of fellowship. But they're making excuses. They're doing their own thing. You know, same thing like some of us. When it comes to keeping the commandments, from the Shabbat to everything else, you know, we got an excuse. You know, well, you know, Master, I got to work on the Shabbat because my job won't give me it off, and I don't have enough conviction in my heart to obey. Well, I don't have enough love in my heart to obey you. You know, just like that, I just can't. I can't lose my job. You know. I remember years ago, my mom told me this. I was talking about the mark of the beast. And so, you know, reading this thing in the book of Revelation, you know, if you take that mark, you're going to be damned. You know, but she was like, well, you know, God knows we got to eat. I'm like, my goodness, if you take that mark, you're going to be damned, Mom. Don't you understand that? You know, but having to eat was her excuse. You know, so if people going to have many excuses, you know, and then we as servants of the Most High, Yah, we shouldn't make any excuses as far as our obedience to Him, you know, our submission to Him. And anything that we're supposed to do. You know, a lot of people make excuses not coming to fellowship. You know, well, you know, I live 20 minutes away, but, you know, it's just, you know, I really want to just rest on the Shabbat. You know, I haven't done anything all week long, but, you know, the Shabbat's just a good day off, a good day for me to have off, and I'll do my own thing and rest. You know, no matter what the scripture says about not forsaking the assembling yourselves together, you know, I'm just going to stay away from the saints today, though. You know, I got to do me. You know, that's the excuse. You know, just whatever whatever you can figure out, whatever people can conjure up, manufacture, they're gonna make an excuse when it comes to doing their own will. You know, and speaking of that, let's go here. Let me find that real quick. Where's that scripture? Hallelujah. Just a second, Saints. Who is that? That's it. Yes, okay, let's go to Matthew. Read that. Matthew 16. 24. Tell me, Brother Ugly, let's go Matthew 16, 13 through 26. I was going to cover all that anyway, so I'll just bounce around there. You know, but Jesus said this. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, take up his tree, his stake. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And the kicker right here. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, his job, his money, things in this world that he covets after, desires, you know, whatever his will is, you know, the Luciferian doctrine, you know, do as you will. You know, so, well, isn't it more important to obey the Most High? Tell you what, we'll come back to Matthew. Let's go over here to I want to cover this too. Let's go over to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 10. We'll come back to Matthew, the rest of Matthew, Brother Ugly. First Samuel chapter 15, verse 10 through 21. Then the word of the Lord came unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandment. Then we had that going on a lot today, huh, Saints? People not performing the commandment. Remember Sabbath day? No, I got to work most of the time. You know, my excuse. You know, don't covet. I got to have Brother Jermaine's bow tie. And I really like Brother
Brother Ugly's car, so I got to cover that. Don't forget what Pastor said yesterday during service. You know, some of your brothers, you don't tempt, I'm not tempted to cover none of you brothers' garments. You know, his mom's assembly here about how some of us are attired. You know, we're Gentiles and heathens. We put on our Sunday best and the temples of Dagon. But come to the Most High now, well, you know, I'm just throwing in there old thing. And some of you probably sitting at home in your pajamas on Shabbat, during Shabbat service. Let's have some discipline, saints. Let's respect the Most High. Hallelujah. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Most High, to the Lord all night, to Yahweh all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of Yahweh, I have performed the commandment of Yahweh. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? You know, of course, you know, Saul saying, Hey, I've done everything. Well, Samuel, really? Don't sound like it to me. And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto Yahweh, thy Elohim, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what Yahweh has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Stay on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and Yahweh anointed thee king over Israel? You know, asking him a question, right? Getting perspective. And Yahweh sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of Yahweh, but didst fly upon the spoil, and did evil in the sight of Yahweh? And Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of Yahweh, and have gone the way which Yahweh sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Blame shifting right here, saints, verse 21. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto Yahweh, thy Elohim, and Gilgal. You know, see, Saul got all these excuses why he didn't know why obedience wasn't enforced here. And Samuel said, Hath Yahweh as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You know, of course, you know, we had that problem today. Got a lot of rebellion going on instead of obedience. Obedience is a key thing in this walk, saints. You know, but you know, you look at Saul. If he just would have obeyed, but yet he couldn't obey. He agreed the Most High, you know that, and let's say pleasing the people is what he gave in exchange for his soul here, and doing his own thing. And verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of Yahweh, he has also rejected thee from being king. And let us not forget also, saints, that, you know, we are kings and priests too before the Most High. So we don't want to be rejected. If we don't want to be rejected, we better make sure we don't reject him and his word and what he tells us to do. Remember the Shabbat, not lying, not coveting, you know, not wanting to be a murderer, you know, not killing, you know, not wanting to, you know, kill somebody just for nothing. One thing for self-defense, but just wanting to be a murderer, you know, committing adultery, you know, having eyes full of adultery, you know, being an idolater. So let's walk holy, saints. Let's be obedient children, which the Most High has called us unto. We see the kingdom of Yah as little children. You know, be converted like the little children, like Jesus said. Because if we don't, we ain't going to go in. You know, most children, most young children are obedient most of the time. You know, of course, you got to chastise them too. Hallelujah. All right, let's go back to, what was that? Matthew. But all the saints, I want y'all to keep in mind now, again, fellowship is the theme here. You know, hearing the voice of the Most High, obeying. You know, Jesus knocking at your door. Anytime, you know, you think about it, anytime the Most High is knocking on your door, when the Spirit of Yah is moving on you, speaking to you, it's like you could be going astray in something. The Holy Spirit, well, you get that quiet little voice whispering to you, saying, hey, don't do that. Don't do that. You know, do this. But do we obey it when we hear? You know, we're in a valley of decision. You know, we're like, you know, we're like, oh, what do I do? You know, do I yield to the temptation to sin, or I just keep walking a straight line? But you know, but if you are sold to the flesh, you're the flesh, you're going to reap destruction. But if you sold to the Spirit, you're going to reap life and peace. So which voice are you going to yield to when you hear? In your time of testing, your time of temptation, what voice are you going to listen to? You're going to hear the Holy Spirit speaking, hey, go this way. Or you going to listen to the devil, nah, come on, let's go do this, man. You know, like he tempted Eve. Hey, go eat that tree. You know, you won't die. You know, hey, go steal that Big Mac off the counter over there. You know, cover that to somebody's clothes. Cover your mama's, go steal money out your mama's purse. You know, kill your neighbor's dog for nothing. You know, all the different thoughts you may have, the temptations that may come to mind. You know, we gotta be strong, saints, in our mind. Put on that helmet of salvation. You know, if you have to, shoot, go run down the street, tell somebody, hey, look, run to a brother, and say, hey, lay hands on me, man. I'm getting tempted too much. I need help. Lock me up in the closet to keep me from doing the things I don't need to do for a little bit. I need some help. But either way, saints, we're going to have to be strong in the Most High. We're going to have to allow the Ruach to sustain us, to keep us from falling. But you know what the proverb says? When a righteous man falls seven times, you know, he gets up. You know, just lay there. If you do fall, don't just lay there and wallow in that sin and the guilt, the shame, the condemnation of it. Get up. The Holy Spirit can say, hey, look, what did Jesus say to the woman? You know, the woman that was caught in adultery. You know, hey, woman, where are those lying accusers? Well, nobody accuses me, Master. Says, well, neither do I then. You know, what did he tell us? Just go and sin no more. Same thing for us, saints. You know, anytime temptations or weaknesses and things like that, just, you know, okay, if you fall, get up, repent. And then just continue on and go and sin no more. Continue to strive. Be strong. The Most High will sustain you. All right, let's go to 1 Kings chapter. Oh, wait a minute. We got to go to Romans. I mean, Matthew. I forgot about that. Let's go back to Matthew, brother. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 26. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living Yah, Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, of course, we got the foundation of the Catholic Church right here, right? The first pope. You know, that's what they use, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, you look at that. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, you think about that, saints. What kind of communication in the spirit was Peter getting, you know, he got that revelation. You know, so that's him hearing the spirit speak. And again, you know, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, but you hear him knocking at the door, you know, he's going to come in. That's part of that communion with the Holy Spirit there. Even though Peter didn't even have it, but he was able, at least able to hear that. All right, let's go on. And I will give unto thee the key to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. And don't forget, over in John 6, you know, Jesus did say, you know, my words are spirit and their life. You know, keep that in mind. You know, the flesh profiteth nothing. Verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Master, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of Yah, but those that be of men. You know, now who was speaking that out of Peter? Of course, well, you see Jesus let us know, Satan, you're trying to deter me from my mission. You want the will of man obeyed and done, not the will of Yah. You know, that thing that you desire, the thing that you savor. And many times, Pastor will tell us things. You know how many times he hears devil speaking out of people. You know, do you ever discern that? Devil speaking out of your brother or sister, or you can catch it come out of yourself. You know, because it's easy to catch everybody else. But how about when you do? And that's when true discernment, true sight is working. Catch yourself being a devil. You know, that tongue, that world of iniquity, that tongue of fire. Hallelujah. Of course, that ain't none of us, right, saints? That wouldn't be you, would it, Brother Ugly? How about you, Head of Glory? Not you either, right? And definitely not our family for Jesus. You know, none of you would be guilty of that, right? You know, saints. I mean, I know y'all all Holy Ghost filled saints. You know, you fire baptized, running for your life. You'd never be guilty of any of that. I'm sure of it. Oh, hallelujah. I'm just picking on y'all, saints. Bless y'all. Hallelujah. Let's go to Luke 18, verses 15 through 18. I hear you, Brother Ugly. Never. Not me. Never. I see y'all's comments. Saints, bless y'all. All right. Luke 18, verses 15 through 18. And they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them, but his disciples saw it. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him. Hey, man, get these children out of here. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of Yah. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of Yah as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. You know, like I said earlier, we become little children. We can humble our haughty adult mind and be converted. And receive it as little children, the kingdom, so we can go in. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Where is that page? Oh, let's go there. Luke 18. Because Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good save one, that is Yah. You know, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now, when Jesus heard these things, you know, this young man got testimony. Hey, look, master, I'm a commandment keeper. I'm doing this. I'm getting it done. All right? I'm not guilty of any of this. I'm good. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. He going to bring it home now. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of Yah? For it's easier for a camel to go to the eye, through a needle's eye, than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Yah. Of course, the disciple says, hey, and they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with Yah. You know, man, I can't leave my riches. Man couldn't give it up. That was his idol, the thing he couldn't give up for the Most High. The thing that he gave in exchange for his soul. He said, well, yeah, I'm going to study y'all for that. That's the same thing for us not keeping the Sabbath, you know, as far as our job. Same thing. You go away sorrowful. I can't, you know, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? Walk in faith. If you got to lose your job, the job be damned. Your soul should be more important than your job, than anything else that you're doing. Have that attitude first. Obeying Yah above all else. He'll take care of you. So what if you suffer loss? So that cut off that young man's fellowship with the Most High, huh? You know, he was sorrowful. He couldn't give up what he had. Of course, the disciples say, look, we left all. What are we going to get? And he said unto him, verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom's sake, who should not receive manifold more in this present time and the world to come, everlasting life. You know, a lot of us testify of that we have received manifold more in this present time. You know, lands. I got lands up in Canada I can go to. Lands in Kentucky. Lands in Kansas City. Lands in Georgia. You know, so we got places to go. And many of you homes scattered throughout, you know. Hey, we all got brothers and sisters, you know, scattered abroad now, saints. So, you know, just because I lost my two brothers, my three sisters, you know, I got an abundant crop of brothers and sisters now. Hallelujah. I'm grateful to the Most High that it happened. I'm glad the sword came in and cut them off. So it could be an increase. The righteous brothers, righteous sisters, people of like-minded faith, those that love to hear the voice of the Most High Yah in the garden, want to commune with them now, not hide in sin like you know, our natural families are, you know, loving that darkness rather than light. Hallelujah. All right. Oh, but of course, you know, that rich young ruler there, you know, we read this again. Here you go. No, because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. You know, that young man didn't know that he was wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked before the Most High. You know, he manifested that when Jesus told him to give up everything he had so that he could receive everything that he needed. You know, he didn't want to give up his riches, sell them, so that he could buy of him gold tried in the fire so he really would be rich. A white raiment that he may be clothed, and that the shame of his nakedness does not appear before. Fearing and anoint his eyes with ourselves that he might see. You know, he didn't want to trade up the earthly goods for the kingdom of Yah. In a nutshell. All right, let's go to what was that one I quoted earlier? 1 Kings 17. Excuse me 1 second, please. Let me get a sip of water here. All right. 1 Kings 17, we're going to read verses 1 through 16. Wait a minute. And brother, I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. Let's find it. Where did I put it? Mess myself up here. Hold on. Where is it? Not First Kings. First Kings 19. I've jumped around on my notes, not in order. Let's go there. First Kings chapter 19, we're going to read verses 1 through 14. No, this is it. This is Ahab pleading from Jezebel. This is with Elijah and Jezebel. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Yahweh, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. We heard yesterday from the man of Yah, right? Saying that it reminded us that our fathers were stiff-necked. Disobeying the Most High. The ancients. Let's make sure we're not following the same pattern, saints. Let's submit ourselves. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. So he's resting. And the angel of Yahweh came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mountain of Yah. This is what I really wanted to get to. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of Yah came unto him. Yahweh came unto him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Why are you here, Elijah? What are you doing? And he said, I've been very jealous for Yahweh Elohim of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. They have thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Elijah's upset now, right? I'm having to run for my life, Most High. These people want to kill me. That's why I requested that I might die. Nobody's serving you but me. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before Yahweh. And behold, Yahweh passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before Yahweh, but Yahweh was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake, but Yahweh was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but Yahweh was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Speaking to him again. And he said, I've been very jealous for Yahweh Elohim of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Most High told him to go back to Damascus. I'm going to take, you know, I'm going to Lord sends him, go and return away to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, Abelam. Oh my goodness, saying these words, Abelam Olaf, shalt thou anoint to be prophet, not rule. But let's go back up here. No, he wasn't in the fire, he wasn't in the wind, he wasn't in the earthquake. Verse 12. So after the earthquake, a fire, but Yah was not in the fire, and after the fire, still small voice. You know, so when we get with fellowship, going back to fellowship again, you know, hearing his voice, you know, so Elijah heard that still small voice. Isn't that what guides you sometimes, saints, when you with the Most High fellowship, and you know, how he directed you by his voice at different times? So it's one of the ways to be able to hear the Most High. He may be able to catch your attention with that still small voice. You know, of course, like Pastor, be very quick. You hear what? Huh? What? But it's not like the devil coming in loud and clear all the time, or your own thoughts. You know, loud and clear, cloud out the voice of the Most High. But there's that still small voice. So that's how you're able to communicate and fellowship, and the Most High is able to direct you, or direct us a lot of time in any given time. But we got to be able to have our ears tuned in to hear. You know, we can't be on channel 70 and he's on channel 1. You know, thinking you're gonna thinking we're gonna be in communication with him by the Ruach. If we're not even in tune with him, we got to be in tune with him though. And again, like the Revelation, he said, "I stand at the door and knock. If anybody can hear my voice," so we got to make sure we're hearing him, hear him through the preaching. Oh yeah, speaking of that, let's go to Luke chapter 24. I got a clip from Pastor I want to play for us too, saints. But you know, are you able to hear the voice of the Most High, saints? You should, like I said on the previous broadcast, we should have that type of relationship with him by now. That's how that same one voice that called you. You know, you heard his call. That's why you came. That's how he's able to reach you when you receive salvation. And if you're somebody that's hanging on the edge, give heed to his voice. Yield to him. Submit to him. Humble yourself before him. All right, let's go to Luke 24. So let's skip down. Let me find the. Let's read. Let's start verse 18 through. I'm gonna skip some of that. Saints, y'all go back and read this when you had time. Luke 24:24, I'll start there. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Is that the Christ is risen now? The Messiah had risen. Then said he unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and vanished out of their sight. And they recognized it was Jesus now. Like, oh man, that was him. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn with us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? And that's what he did up over in verses 25 and 26. You know, don't did our hearts burn yesterday when Pastor was preaching, when he was expounding on the scriptures, opening to the scriptures to us, ministering to us? Most high dealing with sins and things in the assembly, you know, showing us where the devil's trying to get access and get place, or what some of us have given place to the devil. Did not your heart burn? Don't burn at the hearing of the word of Yah. Let the bad get burned out. Let the good be getting burned in. Hallelujah. See, they were there fellowship with Jesus there. They didn't know it was him at that time until he revealed himself. But his words were convicting them, were having an effect on them. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to find my spot. But again, let me go back to Luke 14:16-18, chapter 14:16-18. Talk about that supper again. You know, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time. Sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, "Come, for all things are now ready." And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. As I want to harp on the excuse thing, saints. So, you know, we hear the voice of the Most High. What excuse are we offering him? You know, he don't deserve any excuses. Just that he deserves our obedience. And they with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, "I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused." Another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." You know, so I want to be excused too. I ain't coming. Either way, he ain't asked to be excused. I ain't coming. I'm out. You know, so let's not make excuses on our obedience to the Most High. Let's submit ourselves. Let's do the Father's will. What Jesus come to do? He came to do the will of the Father. That's all he came to do. He didn't have his own agenda. Father gave him direction. He received it, heard it, and came and executed. I believe we all can do the same thing, saints. We can be obedient children. Follow the example of Yeshua. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 10. We're going to read verses 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10. You got that, Brother Ugly? All right. And now it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was coming about much serving, and came to him and said, "Master, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." And now Martha, her spirit was about serving, as opposed to, you know, when the Master came and he's ministering, you know, she's her spirit was more concerned about serving than hearing at that time. But Mary, her spirit was more about hearing than serving. And Jesus said, "Hey, that good part's not going. I'm not going to take that from her." You know, he said one thing is needful. You know, it's better for her to be here listening to me hearing right now, as opposed to doing all this serving. We get that later. First, while he's there ministering, take in what he's saying. And of course, I'm sure Mary took that rebuke, and Martha took that rebuke, I hope, and let the servant go and sat down at Jesus' feet as well to be taught. Hallelujah. You know, let's go to Job 33, verses 14 through 17. For Yah speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men and slumbers upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. You know, verse 14, you know, Yah speaks once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth not. Man, you know, he's speaking to the man, speaking to the conscience, hey, what'd you say, huh? Or no, we ain't saying that. Man don't even acknowledge. He didn't even hear it. And then the dream of the night, when deep sleep falls upon, men and slumbers upon the bed, then he's able to open a man's ears and see what the instructions. He puts it in our subconscious mind, or our mind while we're asleep. He's able to penetrate us then at times. You know, you ever had a dream? The Most High was able to speak to you into something, or vision. He's able to tell you something. Then you're able to get that and go with it. Something to that effect. You know, so he can withdraw you from your purpose, get you to go a different way, and hide pride from you. Just one of the ways the Most High may speak to us. Yeah, I did say we're going to go back to Revelation. Hold on. So again, saints, why is Jesus outside knocking? You know, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. So why is Jesus outside knocking, saints? Do we kick him out? Do we put him out? Do we get mad at him? You know, because he wants us to obey him. He wants us to keep the commandments. He wants us to live holy. Wants us to do the work of the Father, do his work. You know, wants us to cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, you know, cleanse the lepers. We get mad at him and kick him out because of that. Or he step back from us and just watch and see what we do. Then he comes back to knock on the door to see where our hearts are, if we're gonna answer him. See if we're gonna obey and follow him like we should. You know, because he is the good shepherd. You know, his sheep hear his voice, and they follow him. You know, we don't hear the voice of the stranger, or at least we shouldn't. But, you know, when we give place to the devil, that's a lot of times that's when we start to give place to the stranger. We're not following Jesus then. We're going to do our own thing. Let's go to 1 Peter. Verses 5 and 6. Let's read. We're going to read. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For Yah resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of Yah, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, going back, you know, everything I've said, really dealing with us, submitting ourselves to the Most High, hearing him and humbling ourselves and doing his will. You know, because what it say, the Psalms, Jesus said, it's written to me in the volume of the book, I come to do thy will, O Yah. You know, for us, we need to just be willing to submit to the Most High and do His will. You know, hearing His voice when He directs us, when He gives us instruction, especially coming from the pulpit, we need to be able to hear and obey. It's not that difficult, it's not that hard, but you know, but if our will's not in it, if our heart's not in it, we're not going to obey the Most High. You know, we're going to be like Saul. You know, we're going to come, hey, I've done the will of the Most High. Yeah. Well, brother, you done that? Well, why you got such a foul spirit about you then? Why don't you, like Pastor, you know, he can discern a whoremonger. You know, people with a whoremonger spirit, when he's talking about that some weeks and months ago. Well, let's say people who have the covetous spirit, you know, that they can be discerned. Just anything that's all of us, that's about us, is contrary, that's out of the way. You know, we're not hiding from the Most High. You know, we can even fool man or somebody, or like you see, Pat, just like Pastor said, just because I don't say nothing don't mean I don't know you, but I don't see you. You know, so in a lot of cases, it's like that too. Sometimes you're seen, you hadn't been called out yet. But let's strive to be obedient children. I'm going to go back to that. Let's hear the voice of the Most High and just obey. You know, we got the Word. That's one way He speaks to us, through His Word. If we can hear Him through the Word when we're reading, getting direction, and especially when the man of y'all is up preaching to us, we can hear that. Or if you're getting ministered to by, you know, another brother or sister, somebody's giving you something, instructs from the Most High, if they get under the unction, if He gives them direction to give to you, obey that. It's not hard, saints. We can, you know, we have so much to force. We don't have any excuse, you know, because we're gonna be without excuse before the Most High. You know, when it comes down to it, you know, we got everything before us. You know, our ancestors, you know, they had to live this thing, and they didn't have the luxury of having a book. You know, we got the luxury of having this book of their life that was written of all the mistakes they made. You know, so we really shouldn't fail the test at all when it comes down to it. You know, we got the blueprint, and we can learn from their mistakes and not make them again. But you know, we don't want to be as our fathers were. You know, we got the Ruach on the inside now. You know, we just had Pentecost. You know, I'm sure there's some testimonies out there, folks, that received the Holy Ghost, received the Holy Spirit this Pentecost. You know, but now that law is no longer on the outside. It's written on the inside of the tables of your heart, and that should be the thing that's guiding you now. You allow the Ruach to direct you, to guide you. You know, plus the love of y'all. You got that love in your heart now. Come on, shouldn't that constrain you enough in itself to get you to do the Father's will, all that He's done for us, submit ourselves to Him, commit everything we got to Him, and just trust Him like children. Like Jesus said, hey, come as a little child, see the kingdom as a little child, you enter in. But if you don't, you won't. You know, children are very trusting. You know, you tell a little child, hey, if you do this, go do this, or hey, I saw a dog over there, you know, they'll believe you. Well, I saw a cat over here. They'll believe you. I mean, children are very simple-minded. They believe almost anything, pretty much, you know. Very trusting, you know, because they're innocent. So let's make sure we follow the Most High with a clean heart and clean minds, so we can just take Him at His word and let Him fulfill it. Let Him show us that He means business. He means what He says and says what He means. But, you know, I got a cut for a saint from what Pastor was talking about. Hearing the preacher. Hold on, let me read the scripture for us real quick. Hold on. Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? All right, hold on, saints. Let me play this cut for you. Let me know how it's coming in, too, so I may have to change things up. Hold on one sec.
All right, Saints, let me try it this way.
So I keep myself from getting some of them. Y'all hear that? I did not call me. He did just like he said to Jeremiah. Look what he said. And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. If he knew that about Jeremiah, then what did he know about you? Can you believe that, Scott? Before you even formed, he knew you. The chances of you having salvation was zero. You grew up in a scientist's home with no faith at all. One day he heard his voice. Watch this. How did he hear his voice though? By a preacher. See, the day you hear mine, harden not your. You wait for an audible voice to come out of heaven. Yeah, you ain't gonna get that. One day you heard this voice, light bulb went off. He heard his voice. Then you tell your wife, Angelica, come and sit down and listen to this. He didn't even know what he was listening to. See, Yah opened his understanding. He didn't know what he was being driven to, being compelled to, being led to. He had no idea what was going on. So when he says, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet. That's what he tells Jeremiah, right? See, before you was even formed, he knew you. You just now discovering yourself. He in the world doing his little thing, minding his own business. And all of a sudden, bam, up pops a preacher. Yah opens your understanding hearing the voice of the preacher. The one that plant, nothing. The one that water, nothing. But Yah to give the increase, everything.
Hallelujah, Saints. Well, that's all I got for you tonight, Saints. Do appreciate every one of you being here tonight. Hope you all are edified. We pray that you all continue to maintain your relationship with the Most High. Maintain your sensitivity to His Spirit. And most of all, as you're doing that, don't grieve. You know, walk uprightly before the Most High. Keep yourselves holy. Keep yourselves in the love of Yah. I do bless you all and thank you tonight, Saints. But don't forget to keep the man of Yah in prayer, Pastor Dahl, Pastor Corey, you know, all of the elders and leadership, you know, Elder Donnie, Elder Rufus, Elder Becker, Teacher Shane, Teacher Eric, you know, all Elder Mitch, you know, Elder Mitch is even on the road, Saints, so y'all make sure I keep him in prayer. But just keep everybody lifted, Saints, and I'll stay connected with the ministry. Make sure you're watching all the videos. And I guess that's all I got, Saints. I do bless you. Thank you tonight, and we'll see you next time. Shalom. Oh, let me give you guys my email address, too. If you got something that you'd like me to talk about on the blog talk, I'll be more than happy to. As a Ruach directs to cover that at any given time, as we get to it, and I'll give you my email address. Let me pull it up because I don't always know it myself. I made a new one just for you guys because my other one is still full of junk. I can't keep up with it anymore. It's going to be deaconbell777@gmail.com. Can you post that in there, Brother Ugly? deaconbell777@gmail.com.
And it's all lowercase. But anyway, family, do bless you all. Thank you for coming. Thank you for the fellowship. And we're going to call that a show tonight. Bless you all, saints. Shalom.